It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, everybody. Gather around. My sexy man's going to fill your ears with magic.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. 877-365-3636. Part 3 of the Saga of the Spine will be coming up. We've also got the second buzz of the afternoon. But before we do that, let's go to Hollywood, California, and speak with the luckiest man in the world. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ryan Seacrest.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you. And I'm so glad that you're working for me now because I own your radio show.
I'm kidding, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the old friend of the show, Mr. B.B. Billy Bush. Billy, how are you?
I'm so good. Mike, great to hear your voice, my friend.
It's always a good thing to have you on the show, Billy. I was told yesterday we'd get you on the show, and they're also telling me you are an incredibly busy man this time of year, this time of the day. You're doing your show, Access Hollywood. You have a radio show now?
I have a radio show that my office has been gutted. We have a little studio we've thrown in here, so I go back and forth between the two. Radio, then the TV show, then back to the radio in the afternoon. We package up the show and we feed it out.
Wow. What is the deal? A lot of you guys are working your asses off out there in Hollywood. You're working all the time now.
I'm scared. Always looking over your shoulder, man. Scared.
How is life in the greatest job in the world? Billy Bush working Hollywood, getting all the big interviews, meeting and greeting, hobnobbing with the celebrities. Is life still wonderful for you, Billy?
Can I drop a massive name?
Please do.
I just got off the phone with Jack Nicholson.
Oh, wow.
Mike, you love golf.
I love golf.
Two times we've been face-to-face, you were playing hockey, which you're miserable at, and
yes.
You were playing golf, which you're very good at.
Thank you.
Jack loves the golf, and we just spoke. I played golf with Jack last Saturday.
Now, do you play on a regular basis?
No, but I played golf with Jack last Saturday because you have a mutual friend. He said he'll come on the radio show.
You played with Jack?
I did. I swear to God. He said, if you play with, let him get used, let him get to know you, and then maybe he'll call in the show. Well, sure, we had a great round. We had a great, it was fun.
All right, well, I mean, go no further. I have a million questions about this. This is just Jack on a golf course. I think I read an article, it might have been in Golf Magazine. Golf Digest about Jack out there. He's a delight, is he not, to play golf with?
He's wonderful. He's very impatient, which we know when he hits, he walks.
And so before you play with Jack, do you light up a big fatty before you get out on the golf course?
No, absolutely not. But
yeah,
I don't know what one of that is.
I've
never heard of that. Anyway, so Jack hits the ball and he starts to walk.
Right.
And Jack hits first, and then it would be nice if he would hit last and then start to walk, because now everybody has to not hit Jack.
Right.
So he got up ahead of me, and we were on the ninth hole, and I, usually am not very close to the green, but this time I was dead on. Jack was walking on it, and I was forced. I had to yell four.
Are you in a foursome when you're playing with him?
I was in a foursome. It's just me and Jack.
Well, sometimes.
Then we went for a couples massage. It was a hell of a
no,
day.
No, Billy, I mean, that's golf. You can sometimes play in a twosome. It can happen.
Sure.
Yeah. I was in the foursome, very lucky to be in it. Anyway, I yell four. Jack doesn't look like he's in a war game. So he falls out. He's on the floor. He's rolling around.
He's
so funny. I get up there. I'm like, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? And finally, his buddy Rudy's the one who set up the game. I got there. I said, Jack, I'm so sorry. I was trying to hit Rudy. And he went,
and you're talking about Rudy from the movie too, right?
No, Rudy Duran is his great buddy.
It's Rudy. So you're doing this because, you're a manipulative guy. You're doing this just to get the interview. Isn't that what it is?
Well, I mean, whether there was an interview or not, I mean, if you would get an offer to play with Jack Nicholson.
Right. Are you still playing hockey?
No, I don't have time. I'm busy with my kids. Now, honey, I'll see you in about 6 hours.
Wow.
I'm still playing hockey? No. I'm watching hockey.
Yeah, are you That's watching good. The Capitals? Capitals are pretty hot this year.
Capitals are hot. The Rangers are my team, and they're hot.
I invite him to rock the red. I think he should support the Capitals.
God, I mean, is that as far as I've been following you out there. I mean, you've gotten the good get, as they say in broadcast television. You've gotten the big guys, but
I'm in there.
Jack is Jack's way up there. I mean, who would be right up there with Jack? Somebody that everybody would know. I mean, you've talked to everybody, haven't you?
Well, I mean, there's the get that, that's really timely and it's
right.
a big deal and it's going to get a lot of press and a lot of news. Then there's that one. That's one kind of get. Then there's the personal get, and that's like the one that really feeds my own enjoyment, and that's Jack. Jack would be, as a guy, we can all agree, we love Jack.
How is his game? Is his game decent?
His game's fantastic.
He plays to about, I heard he plays to about like a 5 or 6 handicap.
We're on the 18th tee. We're coming in. Jack hit 12 feet. There's a wedding party up above gathered on the terrace looking down on the 18th. Word spreads that it's Jack Nicklaus for the putt. A crowd gathers.
Does he make the putt?
He six putts. No, he... He sunk the putt from 12 feet. It was such a clutch moment. The people went crazy. I expected him to go up there and pose with the bride.
Like
he
was, oh, my God.
He loved it.
It's Billy Bush from Access Hollywood. And is it the Billy Bush Show? Is that the name of your radio show?
Yeah, I couldn't come up with anything else.
Billy Bush Show.
Billy, you talk about a personal get. Now, I have twice seen you on Access Hollywood at Bob Barker's house.
Yes.
How great is that to go into that guy's house and talk to him?
Well, how about this? I got a camera, and I said, just come with me. It's Bob's 84th birthday. I brought him a bottle of tequila, and I brought the camera with me.
He drinks. That's his liquor of choice, right?
He likes Sousa tequila. It brings back memories of he and his wife in Guadalajara on vacation. Anyway, I went to his house. We knocked on the door. He opened it. I had the Sousa. He played right along. We had a great deal of fun. He loves a good shot.
Cool. I swear to God. You know, it's going to be politics for you next. I mean, you've attained the heights. You were a DJ. You go out to Hollywood. Now you're hosting Access Hollywood. You're doing everything. You're everywhere you need to be. When are you going to throw the TV thing and the broadcasting away and go into politics? You got the family name. You got the family name.
That would be a devastating thing for all involved.
You know, the one thing, Billy, I know you're married. You've got two kids. Do you have two kids?
I have three daughters.
Wow. Three daughters. I always thought, and I don't know how young you were when you got married, but the fact is I always thought, man, look at Billy Bush, Mr. Pretty Man, Billy Bush. I always thought you should have remained single. You would have gotten more stink out in Hollywood than anybody in the world.
How about this? I know that Billy Bush just celebrated his 10th anniversary.
Of what?
Of being married.
Oh, really? The wedding anniversary?
Yeah.
All right.
How about that?
All right.
Mike, I'm going to hit you with this one, while I appreciate that, and while you are correct, I would be swinging like crazy out here if, in fact, I was a single man. Yeah. I am not a single man, but I am married to the greatest woman in the world. Who I love so much, I can't even believe I'm married to her.
Oh, wow. That's wonderful. And we've got a quote from her right now. We've got a tape of Billy's wife.
Oh, yeah, right.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not funny. Not funny at all, Billy. But life is good for you. What is your, daily grind when you're doing Access Hollywood? It would seem to me you have to go in and wrap around all these different tape pieces. How long does the process take when you're doing Access Hollywood?
Well, Access Hollywood's a well-oiled machine, so it actually takes me about two and a half...
No, Billy, you are a well-oiled machine.
I'm just a well-oiled man.
Mm-hmm. Oiledman.
Sitting here shining brightly. It takes me about, an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours tops to do the TV show. It's all organized. It's all arranged. The radio show, it's new, so we're ironing out kinks, but we're getting it done by 4 o'clock. So really, my days, I'm a clock puncher. I'm 9 to 5.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
It's just I don't stop during that time to breathe or eat.
But you do have to when you're doing the celebrity interviews. I see a lot of them where you'll go out into the field and you sometimes go to the celebrities' homes, don't you?
Sure.
Any memorable celebrity homes that you visited recently?
Well, Bob Barker's house was fantastic, and we had a good time. We went right to his little old school bar, and
Is it kind of full of hookers?
I thought it would be, but no. He actually lives with two rabbits.
Oh, really? He's got the whole animal thing going.
Yep, he's got two rabbits and a dog or two, and a housekeeper. But that's it.
What is your cause? Don't you have some particular cause that you're all into, too?
I've got a couple. But my Lollipop Theater Network is a big one. I played Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader for that charity, which I blew $150,000. At that point, by the way, I've made all of that money back.
Personally, you blew $150,000?
I blew $150,000 on the show. I had $175,000. I went for the $300,000. I got it wrong.
Oh, I
you want
see.
The question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Please.
All right, boys, just to see if you would have done any better.
All right.
Civil War General Stonewall Jackson.
I'm good at this. This is like right where I live.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is in your wheelhouse. What was his first name? And by the way, when you got a name like Stonewall, I don't know why you'd call yourself anything else, but he had a first name.
I've got it. I know this. Siegfried.
Siegfried Jackson.
Siegfried Jackson.
Well, you know, I wish I had you with me that night as my phone-a-friend.
No, I'm going to say Andrew.
I believe it is Andrew, isn't it?
That's what I went with. That's what all the kids went with. The audience applauded when I said it. Uh-huh. Thomas.
Thomas. Oh. Tom Jackson. Thomas Jackson.
Tom Jackson on Now He's on ESPN.
All right, so we got Bob Barker, we got Jack Nicholson. That's the big thing. Anything big coming up on Access Hollywood that we should know about? Because we know we have to. He's on a time crunch. Yes. We do have.
No, I am about to tape an interview in about 15 minutes for tonight's In Approach. Beautiful, about 12 feet from the cup. He's putting for par, or maybe tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow because it's exclusive with Lindsay Lohan. She has not done an interview since all this, since getting out of rehab and all this stuff, and her father's sort of back in her life now. So we're gonna have a tete-a-tete on the phone here in a minute.
Will you bring her a bottle of tequila?
maybe once upon a time.
You know, here I am, finally after 1 million years, CBS has deigned to give me my own radio show. I'm very excited about that. And then you talk to Billy, and I realize my career is just squat.
Let me tell you something. You are, my wife and I, one of the greatest moments I've ever heard on radio. I don't know if you do the character anymore, Mike, but we almost went off the road laughing. She loves you. With it's the old Italian guy, Sexaggio.
Oh, you mean Cousin Luigi? Right.
Cousin Luigi is my favorite guy. We almost went off the road. We left, and I still use the term Sexaggio.
Oh, that Billy Bush, he's a good boy.
You're a good guy, Billy. Billy, come by when you can stick around a little bit later, okay?
I'm coming in the whole show one time.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful.
And I won't say good luck to you, Billy, because you have the greatest luck in the world anyway.
Thank you. Rob, Buzz, Mike, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Billy.
That's Billy Bush from Access Hollywood and also the Billy Bush Show.
That's right.
The only guy on earth that the Pope says, wow, what a cool guy.
Yeah, it's the Billy Bush Show. If you want to talk to Billy, it's Billy Bush. Anytime you want to talk to Billy Bush, the Billy Bush Show. Yeah, Mike, here's what I did yesterday. Just driving around Hollywood and happened to bump into Jack Nicholson, who asked me to play 18 holes with him. You know, for a golfer, and I know you guys aren't golfers, and neither am I now that I have severe back pain.
Right.
I don't hate to dwell on it, but it's the truth. I'd like to get on a golf course. It's been 3 months. Mm.
You don't know how he was chomping to drive you crazy with that story.
Yeah, he's a lucky guy, and he's still like the DJ. He still gets the fact that he's hanging around with celebrities.
Look out, Seacrest. Here comes Billy Bush.
And you were polite because you didn't bring up the show he hosted where they cast the musical Grease.
What's that?
The musical Grease. Remember he hosted that show?
That sucked.
You didn't bring it up. I thought that was nice. That was high class.
I forgot it like most of America.
All of America.
How can you remember? The show was on for a half an hour.
Let me tell you, it's the cast of Grease, guys.
All right, we ripped him off the first time. We're going to give him a full segment right now. It's time for the second buzz of the afternoon, and we will take more of your calls coming up at 877-365-3636, because I have not yet gotten to the real important part of the saga.
The meat?
Of the spine.
Can't wait to hear it.
Mike's meat.
The meat when they carved into my meat.
Oh, your meat.
Go ahead, Buzzy.
Here's the second buzz of the day. President Bush continues to defend the ongoing war in Iraq. He acknowledged the war's successes and difficulties at a White House news conference today with British Prime Minister Gordon Brown. The shame and pain from the clergy sex abuse scandal were acknowledged again by the Pope today. The Pontiff says the church is moving to deal with the tragic situation honestly and fairly. He spoke about the scandal as he led a mass for more than 45,000 people at the National Baseball Stadium in Washington.
Peace be with you.
Shouldn't laugh because that's really a nice wish.
That's pretty good audio because I was watching it on tube and I didn't get to hear him that quickly.
Peace be with you.
I watched it on the Tony Perkins show.
Were you shocked really when it finally got to the part? Because he said things like, God bless America.
Yeah,
and
I was.
When he got to the actual homily is when you really heard the fact that it's, sign the papers, old man. You know, I'm thinking about changing my Pope voice from Cliff from Cheers to.
Oh, don't.
Well, how interesting it's been. I'm very happy to have all the people gathered around at the National Stadium.
I love what he said, here in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, we'd like to say to everyone...
Peace be with you.
Be with you, Yavol Basco Bank.
You want to hear a little of him?
Yes, can we hear a little bit of Pope Benedict?
Of course.
This is the Pope, for those of you around the country. This is all you saw on live television. Everything was preempted here in Washington, D.C., because he said Mass at National Stadium
today. It was pretty good TV, though, you have to admit.
I will look, I'm going to say it now. I didn't say it before. I know we've been talking about the Pope all week long, but the fact is, being a fence sitter, here's where I come down on this. You know what?
Where are you today?
It's a good. Nobody is.
It's a good. It's a good.
It's a good. Nobody's pissed off. Everybody's. You know, for the people that are going down there for the pilgrimage. Seriously, I'm happy for him. Yeah. I think everybody was enjoying it. Whether you're a Catholic, you're a non-Catholic. I know if you have Travis Buzz is looking at me. You didn't like
you
it.
Lost
I don't
your
care.
Mind, haven't you?
You heathen, I don't care if you didn't like it.
There was much pomp and there was some circumstance.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, well, so we got some more Pope here?
Here's the Pope.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm happy to be with you all here in Washington, the District of Columbia, the capital of the United States.
Now, what if I said, we're going to tune in to a television show now. I know you all remember it. The Lawrence Welk Show.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm happy to be with you all.
And now the Cardinals. The Cardinals will line up and be playing a thing with Bobby and Sissy for you.
I'm going to dance with
Peace
the Norman Zimmer.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
The District of Columbia, the capital of the United States of America, and to celebrate with you this Eucharist. May our time together help us to be renewed in the hope and love.
And then
after our Lord Jesus Christ,
he just goes on.
After the mass was said, he went into a back room and he tried to drill Dustin Hoffman's teeth.
Is it safe?
That's Chubb. He's a fine Pope.
He is. And you know what? I don't think I'd want the job of Pope, but I do want the job of the guy that takes the hat off the Pope.
That's now, I was thinking about those guys. They're not your standard altar boys. I think they're real priests, aren't they?
I bet they're beyond priest.
You think they're like cardinals?
Yeah.
They looked older.
They did. Well, I mean, that's not an easy job.
You know, because
the altar boy was holding the mic on the stick, but the cardinal was holding the hat.
We're very happy to be here with each and every one of you.
Where are my glasses?
Don't get shy.
I need to read from the boy.
All I know is I'm going to miss him.
No, you're not.
An 8-year-old girl from Yemen is divorcing her 20-year-old husband. BBC News reports the girl ran away from her husband, took a taxi to a judge's office, and filed for a divorce on her own. A Yemeni court later annulled the marriage. There is no legal minimum age for marriage in Yemen. The wife is only allowed to live with her husband, however, once she has reached puberty. So they do have standards.
How would Pope Benedict feel about that?
I don't know.
I know is that if I could get him around for a few hours, I would be able to talk him out of that. Yes.
Perhaps he should know that I know where his relatives are in Milwaukee.
Welcome to the nation's capital, the District of Columbia. I haven't been this happy since I've been in Deutschland.
Peace be with you.
I think my favorite shot of the Pope was him in the Pope Mobile taking his victory lap.
Yeah.
When I knew that he was 335 feet from home plate.
Did you notice he really did look like a little kid at his own birthday party?
Oh, he was so happy.
He's got that
it's
cute
good
little
to be Pope.
Kind of pointy mouth a little bit where he's kind of almost smirking. It looks like he's having a great time.
And what's with those two other guys in the Pope Mobile with him? Isn't that a bit too intimate?
I don't know if it's intimate. I was watching him. I don't think they talked to him.
But I mean, what if someone had, you know, a rich breakfast?
Well, I think you have to be
fine.
You have to be very careful with that because it's all, you know, he rolled down the windows, I think, yesterday.
Maybe that's why.
Now you know why.
Because the ventilation can't be good in the Pope Mobile.
I will not accept any more gas breakage. Peace be with you.
I'm listening to the show. I'm listening to Big O and Dukes.
Jawohl.
In my Pope Mobile.
Well, as if divorce wasn't treacherous enough, a big money breakup is now playing out on YouTube.
I don't think there's anything treacherous at all about divorce.
I know, but it will be now. Estranged wife Trisha Walsh-Smith has put up a video saying that she was wrongly evicted from her apartment on New York's Park Avenue. She says it's the end of a sexless marriage. Mm-hmm. Sexless for her, at least.
I'm fighting back, and I'm going to do this video, and I'll put it up on YouTube. Oh, another thing. We never had sex. He said it was because he had high blood pressure, and he was older than me, and I accepted that. But then last year when we went through this, I found Viagra, porn movies, and condoms. So maybe I should call him up and ask him, just tell him we're filming and ask him what he wants me to do with the condoms.
Condoms.
Hell hath no fury.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Trisha also airs considerable dirty laundry about the husband's family on this YouTube video. Her husband, who's 25 years older, is the head of the Schubert Theater Organization, and he's worth $60 million.
Schubert!
That is why I have chosen a life of celibacy, so that I won't have to worry about the bitch putting a video up on the YouTube.
The Mrs.
Do you know the Schuberts?
The Schuberts are close friends of mine. I like to play the Brahms, though. I'm going to direct Shoe Warehouse. Yes, sorry. And I'm going to go to Chipotle. Have you seen the size of those burritos?
$5, Your Eminence.
You know what? Tell you. I saw this woman today, and I saw the video clip on YouTube, and it's just nasty. I mean, for anybody,
nasty.
I've been through it. I've been through it twice, and the rule of thumb, really, this is for anybody. I tell anybody, all of my friends that have gotten divorces, I have told them this, really. The thing you do, you got to suck it up.
Yeah.
You got to be the bigger person, because if you try to go bottom feeding, you know, you got a 90% chance the woman is going to pull some crap like that.
Sure.
Well, and as she says, he told her that he couldn't have sex because of his high blood pressure, and then she found the condoms, the porn, and the Viagra.
We wouldn't know that if he had probably come to her and said, let's have a fair and amicable settlement.
Right.
Instead, he said, you know what? He pointed at her, then he said, I'm going to take you for everything you've got.
Ugly on both sides, I'm sure.
Not that I would know.
The experts say this YouTube thing may have a chilling effect on all divorces in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube's also gotten a surgical staff in trouble in the Philippines. The video shows hospital workers. The man and his family say they have suffered endless humiliation and ridicule because of that video.
Mm-hmm.
The medical personnel involved may lose their licenses.
We have audio of that video as well.
Do we really?
Yeah.
Really?
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ.
Stop it.
No.
Stop it.
I'm sorry.
Now, see, that's the one. Hold on.
That is disrespectful.
Wait, this is what that is. Hold on. I've got to find the right thing for it. This is what. There he is. He did.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here.
Well, that's okay. Just
that's for Rob Spiewak.
Don't you blaspheme. Don't you blaspheme in here.
I agree, Mike.
Coming up,
I don't know why I did that.
In the final buzz, is CBS clock blocking your DVR, and the airlines have to cough up cash the next time they bump you? I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Rob Spiewak.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here.
That's my credo.
I want to say, Rob Spiewak, because of that last joke that you made, you will be going straight to hell.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I have already given Mike O'Mara the back pain, haven't I?
The back pain?
All right, where was I with the back thing? Had I gone into surgery yet?
Yeah, you were just about to go under the knife.
All right, the thing about the back pain is, once you sign the forms and you're in they call it pre-op, and it's an outpatient surgery thing, but it's a big deal. This is not your average run-of-the-mill, you know, go in and get your eyes lifted or your cheek implants. This is a huge surgical center that they have this
thing. I'm glad you put it in terms that Buzz would understand.
Yes. Well, Buzz has work done all the time, and he's out the same day.
Of course.
And outside of a few bandages, he looks fine.
Looks natural, doesn't
but it? I'll get to the surgery in a second. We have more back calls here. Bill from South Riding, you had back surgery as well?
Yeah, I had back pain for about 20 years, and on Thanksgiving 2003, I got out of bed, my feet hit the floor, then my face hit the floor, and I didn't walk for 4 months.
Just like you.
Yeah. Are you
a heavy? I ended up at Cedars-Sinai out in California during a clinical trial, and they actually removed the disc and replaced it with an artificial disc.
Yeah, they're doing that now. That's new technology, right, the artificial disc?
Yep, no fusion, no nothing. I walked out of the hospital 2 days later. I walked a mile to my follow-up a week later, and have had zero pain for 4 years.
Wow.
Okay.
What's your height and weight?
I'm sorry. He sounded like he might be a fat guy, too.
I'm interested in that because I'm a heavy guy.
But I will tell you, seriously, Rob, everybody, you see every single kind of individual in this place. You see old, young, skinny, fat. Mm-hmm. Everybody's in there.
Oh, yeah.
The only thing, and you'll appreciate this.
The common factor?
This was just a theory I had. It just seems to me. I'm not trying to be a misogynist here, but the guys that are in there were kind of just toughing it out.
Right.
And, you know, the women that were in there, at least the day I was there, were all doing kind of the wringing of the hands.
Sure.
Just going, every woman that I saw walk by, you know, we know we're in a surgery center for your back.
Right.
We know you're hurting, but they would walk by. And when you're hurting yourself, you don't have a lot of sympathy for the faces that would always be like, whoa, I'm sure I hurt so bad. But, you know, the saga of this is that I get to the day Wednesday, which is surgery day, and they've gone over everything. They've gone over the EKG. They've gotten my height, my weight. They've gotten my medical history, which I fudged a little bit.
What did you lie about?
Uh-oh. Panic attacks.
You didn't mention that?
Well, when I had the panic attack, you know, they ask you if you've ever had a cardiological scare.
An event.
And I hadn't. I mean, the day that
But doesn't that count as one?
Well, not in my opinion. I wanted to have the procedure done. I really did. I was really hurting.
Well, you didn't want to stop payment on the check.
I didn't want to stop payment on the check, but I wanted to make sure that I got in there, and I thought that if I said it was a heart thing, but it wasn't a heart thing. It was kind of like a freak out thing.
Did you also on your form say you were 6'2", 185?
Svelte 185. But the forms, I was talking to Buzz outside about this, the forms that they have you sign, a good number of them are right when you're in that little pre-op chair and they're putting the thing in your arm about, you know, the IV.
Doesn't seem fair.
So
seems fair for them.
This is what causes a little consternation for me when the anesthesiologist comes by. Now, he's the supervisor of all the anesthesiologists, and he's apparently the chief doctor in charge that checks him out. And so he comes by, and this is a guy who I had spent a good chunk of time with either the day before or the day before that, and he sat down with me for about 10 minutes. He does the EKG.
Right.
And he comes by, and I've got the thing hooked up and I've signed all my forms. Sure. And he sits down next to me and he says, okay, sir, you are, let me see, Mr. O'Meara. Very good. Okay, looks like everything's good here. They've checked you for that. And also, we don't see any problems with anything cardiac or any medications that you've been. And about halfway through this, I said, yeah, these are all the questions you asked me the other day, doctor. And he goes, oh, it's you.
Oh, God.
And at that point, now really, and I'm sure they're moving people through this place.
Sure.
I mean, they do a lot of good, but this is the beginning of freakout-dom.
Well,
okay?
Sure.
And he says, oh, of course. Hey, yeah, all right. And he goes down to the chart. Yes, I see. We're fine.
And they've not given you any medication to calm you down yet.
No, I'm getting the little saline thing to keep me hydrated. Right. I got the drip, drip, drip going.
So you're out of your mind.
And he's sitting there, and then he tells me the last minute anesthesiological questions or concerns he might have.
Right.
He says, okay, want to make sure you're comfortable in there. You're going to be put into a sort of semi-state of consciousness. You're not going completely out.
Twilight.
That's what we call it.
We're at twilight. Mm-hmm. We want to keep you comfortable. Everything's going to be just fine. Mm-hmm. But we want to make sure that airway's okay.
Yeah.
Now, what might happen is that, you know, if we think there's a problem, we'd like to go through your nose. Do you have any trouble breathing? Now, here I am again. You know, this is when I begin to realize that over the years between hockey and playing football and everything I've done, you know, not having my nose fixed when it got broken.
It goes partially west and partially east.
The years of bar brawling, Rob, that I never should have done. He says, how are you breathing through your nose? I said, well, I've got one side that actually is pretty well difficult because it got kind of banged up years ago. He said, which side? He takes a look at that. He goes, uh-huh. Okay, won't be able to do that. Well, we just want to, you know, usually, and he says this to me, usually at this stage of the game, it's much easier to go through your nose than through your mouth because, you know, teeth break.
Oh, my God.
And I'm starting to want to rip the IV out of my arm.
I guess so.
And just leave because I'm freaking out.
Sure.
I'm totally freaking out. And he says, no, it's usually no problem at all. We put you into twilight. Everything is A-okay. You're going to be fine. And we're all set. The next person you see will be the anesthesiologist, and your surgeon will come by and chat with you a little bit, and you'll be good to go. So he trundles off, and then I'm waiting. And it's the waiting game.
Sure.
And all you can do when you're waiting in this little pre-op area is you can look at everybody else that's having a back procedure on the same day, and I would say there were 6 or 7 of them.
All right.
6 or 7 of them.
That's a pretty good day's work for them.
You go right
at
down.
At these prices, yeah.
You go right down the line, and, well, you know this when you've had your many plastic surgeries.
Right.
You know, you see all the people that are there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're all in the different stalls, and one by one, they all go off to the surgical procedure, and now I find I've gone from the anxiety of the procedure to feeling the same way we would feel if we were on the traffic, beltway traffic.
Just
I'm starting
anger.
To get pissed off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, you know, why am I the last person?
You hate waiting.
Oh, the one drug, what the hell is the one drug he gave me? Oh, he said, how do you respond to anesthesia? And I said, the last time I had my surgery was I had my shoulder scope.
Right.
Thank you again, hockey. I appreciate that.
You've destroyed yourself is what you've
And
done.
I played in high school.
Right.
I mean, that's how long ago, but everything that you do, I mean, it just came back to bite you in the ass.
Right.
I said, well, the last time I had a procedure, I had just a little stomach issue where I felt a little nauseous coming out of the anesthesia, but nothing bad.
Right.
So he says, all right, we're going to give you something that's almost like a Pepcid. and anti-nausea medication.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So he gives me that, and then he goes away. And this is, I have no idea how long it was, but I think it was an hour and a half. And everybody's going. And at this point in time, I'm just starting to, what do? You got a needle in your wrist.
Right.
You're waiting for the procedure to get done. And everybody's going in front of you. And I'm starting to get super deluxe pissed off. Mm-hmm. But you can't do anything. And this is after
you're
I walked out.
You're tied down. Do you have a magazine?
I have nothing. I'm just sitting there kind of
They don't have,
like,
at those prices, they don't have a magazine for you?
No, I mean, I could have asked for one, but.
You shouldn't have to ask.
No, you know, you don't want to even read anything. What you want to do is you want to get the process started. You want to get it done. And I'd come out of the little dressing room with my ass hanging out before that, too. I forgot to tell you that part. That's the part that I skipped. I came out and I said, no. Turn around, sir. Go back in. Because I didn't tie the back flap.
Oh, no. Oh,
but then. Then
and
I
that
met
was
Scarlett.
A quote-unquote accident?
I met Scarlett. No, I was turned on by it.
I know you were.
I actually had it undone in the front. Let's go to Bill in Percival. Bill, three surgeries, and he's better for it. Bill, you're on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yes, I am. Glad to be talking to the three of you there. And, yeah, I had two back surgeries, good old L5-S1 discectomy.
That's me.
And
I didn't get the discectomy, but I had the L5. That's what they were working on, the L5-S1. Mm. That's, for those people that don't know, that's the last little one they have.
Painful one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty, I think it's the most common one for back surgeries. And I have, my left leg is still partially paralyzed.
Thank you.
But it's in no pain, which is the good thing. I mean, I'll take the partial paralysis. My little pinky toe is dead. And the side of my calf is kind of, and I limp when I get tired, but the pain is gone, and that was the amazing thing is when I drove in to get my MRI for that.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah.
Can I just stop you right there and tell you one thing?
Sure. Yeah!
Sorry, I didn't mean to hang up on him, but I had to. Uh-huh. I couldn't stand that anymore. Paralysis!
I would like it if he cut off that dead pinky toe and sent it to us.
I'm doing just fine.
How you doing, Jackie?
Everything's just going great. I just can't feel my right lip.
Was the procedure done by your husband?
It was done. He's a doctor. Yeah, he's a plastic surgeon that dove right into me.
So I meet Scarlett.
Jackie Stallone.
Scarlett is hot. And Scarlett comes up to me.
I wouldn't think anyone named Scarlett could be hot.
You wouldn't think so. She's thin. She's got the red hair. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of looks a little bit like Nicole Kidman.
Oh, well.
A little Nicole Kidman.
Thank
and
you.
She walks up to me and she goes, well, hello. And I'm in that kind of pissed off stage. I'm like, hello.
Hello.
My name is Scarlett. And this is, you want to talk about being disarmed? My name is Scarlett, and I'm going to be your bartender today.
Wow.
And I suddenly go, all right. Yeah,
you're feeling better now.
Let's party.
Did you have to adjust your robe after that?
It adjusted itself.
Suddenly, all the medication began to get me going. But it was very, very exciting. And Scarlett was the first in a series of doctors and operations and operating rooms and drugs and all the fun stuff. I will let you know exactly what happened.
Please do.
When I had my spinal surgery just 3 weeks ago. And, of course, we'll take more of your calls. Also, barbecue calls. Mm-hmm. We're still looking for barbecue babes.
Absolutely.
The big Mike O'Mara picnic on Friday.
Yes, it's not going to be all medical talk,
no.
But I'm a little self-absorbed right now because the pain in my ass is running down my leg still.
I'm sorry.
We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.